Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show here for Court of Swords episode 89. Max, have you calmed down? Are you still angry? Are you still okay?
No, I'm fine.
You realize those weren't real people, right? Like, geez, you didn't have to get so crazy.
Huh? That was...
I thought it was great. I really liked it.
It was good.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It reminded me of... I mean, we've seen Berg go off on people for being dicks. Booker and Riley had a moment too back in Favorona. So I love it. I love seeing those. Those are great.
Yeah. I think it's interesting playing. I wouldn't necessarily call your, and we never really talk about these, but playing like a lawful good character or a good hearted character, is definitely tough. Specifically when I'm playing in the game and specifically when Zeke's playing in the game for the most part.
No. Uh-oh. No, you, it was Remus and Sally Hoffa that like kind of turned me around. Like I was a good dude. I was like,
he was pretty good natured at the beginning.
And I can tell you the turning point was when Remus killed beggars, just a group of beggars. Just that's when I learned how this world works.
I'll let Remus take that one.
Well, yeah, like it's, I mean, we've talked about this once or twice before, this idea of like, it's getting into this place now where we're seeing alternatives to the core religious belief. Like Kalimat represents the way fate is. Kalimat's like, I said this in the chat. I was like, Kalimat is a holy man, right? Like being willing to do whatever needs doing and letting the heaven, leaving luck to heaven. That's like the best thing you can possibly do. But there's these alternatives, and that's kind of what this arc is about, right? Like the cult is like, no, we've got some other stuff going on, and the primordials and like the druid religion is like, no, there's a different way to do this. And so we're starting to see these things like crash together, and it's super cool.
Yeah,
I really like it.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun, albeit fucked up, to be like, hey, they brought them on. They did this, Zeke. You didn't do this, or Kali. This is their stupid belief in heaven that they were taught,
you know,
that did this, not you.
It's that thing, like this universe equivalent of like, is it a crime to steal bread to feed your family?
Yeah.
Like, is it morally reprehensible to murder your family to prevent them from suffering? This universe, no, it's not, because they'll reincarnate. Yes, they didn't get to like finish their path, and like you probably should have asked a priest to do it, but you know, it's fine. You probably won't get too badly demoted in the soul ladder. Really, really fascinating to see that interact in the world.
Yeah.
And
I like watching that stuff.
Add to that, I would say like there was this crushing guilt that Kalimat felt during the raising of the City of Brass.
Yeah.
And it honestly, it just became like more guilt than he could bear. And this is the way he deals with it. This is the way that he can go on without having it on his shoulders, is just leave it up to like, this is what is meant to happen. This is fate. This is supposed to happen. That's why there's little to no like guilt or remorse for this family, because that's what was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And that kind of shit. And it's weird for me to like to behave that way, because I remember like when I first came in the group and everyone was like so cold and like about taking lives, I was like, what the fuck is this? But I get it now.
We're definitely not and never have been the happy-go-lucky Avengers trying to rid the world of evil. That's definitely not. It's more just like, hey, we got to stay the fuck alive. All right. This world sucks. We need to look out for our own for sure.
And I feel shattered in our first group. Pull me out of the dark.
Yeah, what was that, Dan?
We were kind of good people in our first group that got slaughtered horribly, and then the second group was just like, fuck all that.
Yeah,
I mean, even those people would have been put in a position to like do bad shit anyway, because they're the armed forces of a government, right? Like, so there would have been stuff, right? You'd have eventually turned into like petty tyrants anyway. So, yeah, it's a cool thing.
For sure.
Cool watching you guys like move around in the universe.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
Max, for you, how'd you, apart from the rage there at the end, How'd you like the episode, and how do you like where Shadrick's going?
I liked it. You know, even outside of the rage, like, I'm honestly just happy we're out of the camp, because for Shadrick, there's only so much that he can really do, and like, you know, freedom that he has. Like, obviously, you can say like Shadrick can do anything, but he's very shackled by like limitations of the camp and the cult.
Right.
So it's nice to get out there again and do stuff. Shadrick, it's going to be challenging to keep playing him and play him in a way that it feels true to like his belief system and his morals and stuff.
Yeah.
And not get him killed.
I was definitely thinking about that too. Like, I feel like,
I mean, he knows that Jadaren is going to be wanting to like get rid of this guy, you know, like whatever.
Right. I feel like Yoji is going to somehow be a mediator between that, those two camps for sure. I just don't know. I have to figure out what Yoji does to like get Shadrick back on board.
Mm-hmm.
And it might just be the very fact that's like, hey, if it's not you, it's no one. So you got to be around here and deal with this for the greater good in a sense. And hopefully that'll try to appeal to what Shadrick's about. Because otherwise, like, this bell's going to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you were saying, that'd probably be the best way to go about it. Because, I mean, Shadrick's mad about what just happened. Look at it from his standpoint. You just introduced him to the king and, like, had him, like, okay, so there's a noble purpose behind this. There's a good thing that you're doing. All right, go out there, do this, and then the knight, you get a mission from the knight. And the first thing that we do is murder a family. Like, are responsible for an innocent family just dying.
Yeah.
So it's not... Although, from his
technically...
technically.
Yeah. I you know, now that we're talking about this, I have other ways to, like, convince Shadrick that potentially it's worth joining us. I was also thinking that Zeke was going to... Or Kalimant was going to let him go. And my mindset was... If he lets him go, I'm going to try to get high up in this tree, and since my bow can shoot 600 yards, I'll just snipe that motherfucker. He's like really far away from us, because no one needs to know about this. 600
yards?
Yeah, yeah. Because I have a sharpshooter, or I forgot what... I forgot what it is.
It reduces the penalty for long range, I think.
Yeah, and something a longbow like goes 600. Longbow
600 feet. Yeah, not yet.
It is 150 slash... Oh, yeah, feet. 150 slash 600, so...
I think... So this is the thing that I think about with Dungeons & Dragons fields. all the goddamn time, because I am not good at imagining how far something is. I really love when I can do things like, okay, that thing is exactly... Like, I know exactly how far away it is. I can be like, that's 300 feet. And then I think, okay, longbow, max range. Could I hit something with a bow? And it's like, this big, way the fuck over there. Like, 300 feet's a long way.
It's two football fields. Two regulation-sized football
At that point, your arrow shots aren't going straight. You're shooting them up, and they're falling on the person.
Oh yeah,
That's insane. That's nuts.
And having like gone through like Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, and that kind of thing, like shooting an arrow like at something that's 20 feet away is a fucking challenge.
Yeah,
like to start off. And I know this is like their bread and butter, and they do it all the time. But like the shots that are made on a regular basis in Dungeons & Dragons are amazing shots.
Yeah. Miracles. Yeah. Well, and then you got to remember, too, that like what we're supposed to imagine in combat is not move, shoot, move, shoot, move. I'm a solid target. Hit me. Move. It's like everybody's moving around, so you're actually taking snapshots at... Like, I've never played a role-playing game. There have been a ton that have tried to do combat where there aren't... Like, you're moving on a grid, and you're moving and doing things, and everyone's going, and it's impossible to do because you're trying to keep track of what you're doing, and somebody's got to do the math, you got to roll the dice.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to imagine that in the universe, there isn't this like stop and start thing happening. So, yeah, I mean, everyone who is a D&D character is really, really good at murdering in their preferred way. I mean, above and beyond like being able to cast magic or being an elf, like just the basic shit, like. Yeah, killing someone who's wearing plate mail with a sword, really hard to do. Shooting things with a bow, also very difficult. It's pretty cool.
I've often imagined D&D fights as the Matrix like shootout scene in the first one. In the
right.
It's like the post-elevator when they walk in and they do like the slow-mos and then change the camera for like 6 seconds.
When
that's what I'm imagining the fights to be.
The description of combat and hit points is intentionally extrapolated, right? Like, you don't, it's not like if I'm a level one fighter and Zeke is a level one fighter, I don't walk up to Zeke, go swing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, swing at you again. Yeah. It's, we're exchanging blows, swords are hitting shields, but one swing in 6 seconds will have a real chance of connecting. Everything else is just duel of the fates, sword swinging, right? Like, you're supposed to imagine you're constantly trying to hit. In that whole 6 seconds, you're like taking swings, making the attack, shoving with your shield, and then you have one opportunity. Or if you're a higher level fighter, you're just making better use of your time. You have more opportunities to hit. Which, again, makes it seem a lot more fun than, like, I swing, I miss, I swing, I miss. It's been 26 seconds, and I still haven't hit you. It's just you're smashing against each other the whole time, which is way more fun to imagine.
Yeah, I've never actually thought of it that way, for sure. It's always been like, here's a strike. Oh, you've... All right, well, maybe next.
And there's rules in the game to sort of ameliorate this, but the hit points are supposed to be abstract, too, where it's like, if you lose 5 hit points, it's not you getting stabbed. You're just running out of energy. And then when you hit 0, that's the one, like, you all have one hit that'll take you down, basically. So if you have 100 hit points, you're just way better at staying in the fight, way better avoiding hits, and you have a lot more fatigue to give. But that last hit will always be the hit that takes you out, which, again, is interesting, but you really have to, like, think about it as being that way. And as a GM, it's hard to describe, like, well, you didn't get hit, but you lost some hit points. So I often have to be like, well, he like nicks you, or you like get cut or whatever. Cause then otherwise, if you're just describing like he stabs you, it's like, I got stabbed 27 times today and I'm fine. I took a nap. We're good.
Right.
Drank some water, you know? Yeah, so it's true. When you imagine it, the mechanisms, you have to kind of bend them a little bit. But and
I've always thought about it. Like, why do our hit points go up? And it's because like, we get better at either using our armor or dodging shots or having blows that would be killing blows, glancing blows instead, that kind of stuff, just from skill base and stuff like that. It's been something that I've thought about a lot. Like, why? I mean, an arrow to the face would kill me no matter how high level I am. Mm-hmm. However, you get a sense for like the battle and you see the arrow coming maybe, or you know how to like move your head, or you have, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah. So the way that the one alternative, and I think it's something I might use for like a different campaign sometime, but the alternative is that your real hit points, your like health points or whatever, are, you have a number equal to your constitution. So if your constitution is 10, you got 10 of them. Damage is dealt exactly the same way. Your hit points are on top of that. So once you run out of hit points, the next 1, 2, 3, 10, however many hits are actual wounds. So if you run through your 40 hit points, you're like, oh shit, like I'm exhausted. The next swing is going to hit me, my body. And if you get a crit, instead of jumping the number of dice up, it just deals it straight to your. So you could be like, I have 100 hit points. And then I'm like, cool. The swordsman crits you and deals 18 damage to your con. And you're like, oh, I'm dead. I had 100 hit points and he just cuts my throat because I just wasn't ready, or I was exhausted, or caught me off guard. And so it bypasses and goes straight to your actual hit points. It's kind of an elegant way to do hit points that actually feels like you have a body of hit points and then you have your like exhaustion pool. And in systems like that, you can spend those exhaustion points. You can spend your hit points to do other things like get spells back or like boost other actions because they're like a currency you can spend. Yeah.
Yeah. I've always thought like whenever Wizards feels like they can't sell any more rule books for 5th whenever they're going to move on to 6th, like what they would actually change in terms of how that would work.
What's been funny is that if you look at like 4th edition, there were 3 Dungeon Master's guides and 3 player's handbooks by the time it was done. Yeah. And they have not done that with 5th. And I understand why, because they don't want to like burn people out. They're just like, these are the rules. They will not change dramatically. But, normally the second Dungeon Master's Guide would be the thing to be like, okay, so here's armor as damage reducer instead of harder to hit. Here's 3 different alternates for hit points. Here's like, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like here's a way to do fatigue in battle. But it seems like with 5th, they just aren't interested in that. They just want to stick to the like easy to learn kind of simple, straightforward thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Anything else episode wise? It was ultimately just kind of us getting to the farm. I expected us to get to the farm a lot faster tonight, but, you know, D&D happened.
Yeah. Right, D&D happened, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you take these opportunities, like, stuff. like just a simple walk from the forest edge to the forest, like to the farmhouse.
Yeah.
That was like a nice 20 minutes of RPing, which, you know, I relish, and sometimes you don't see those coming.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. There's definitely a lot of conversations with Shadrick and Yoji like that tonight. Yeah, and I agree. You definitely seek those out for sure. So guesstimating that you're going to get to a farm and get an ambush planted in 4 hours is usually a little lofty. But whatever. We'll be there next week somehow.
I just want to say, like, sure, I saw, like, maybe it would have, like, a super negative effect. I didn't think he would kill his whole family when I did the... Because it was the first time I used that skill.
That's Adam being a dick. Don't worry about that. You rolled a 31.
I knew that family was dead the moment they went back
inside. You got a crit. You got exactly what you wanted. You terrified him to his very core.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I responded. Yeah. I was just like,
I knew when they didn't. He didn't bother with the goats. The goats were coming out. I'm like, yep, they're dead. He doesn't care. He knows he's going inside.
Right. It
doesn't
matter anymore. Right. Because these are farm kids, and they would know never leave the goat pen open. Never.
Yep.
Do not leave the goats unattended. They're way too smart for that. And that kid, he had a protocol. I'm really glad you picked that up, because he had a protocol for, like, what do we do if strangers show up at the farm? Right. Drop what you're doing. Run and tell dad. That's what happens.
Yep.
But I mean, that aside, like, I didn't see that coming. That didn't even cross my mind. It's completely logical, from the standpoint of the farmer and his kids, but I didn't see that coming. But even more so, the fucking Mara, what the fuck is, like, where the fuck did that come from?
Creep up. When you don't expect them, it's like, ooh, some shit went down.
Well, they're the Mara, they're in moments of human weakness, right? They are lingering everywhere, and they are only held back by prayer and right action. And as soon as somebody fucks up badly enough, the Mara just like, hey guys, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You need a demon in here.
Now, maybe we've covered the philosophy of this before somewhere in the show, but do the Mara exist because heaven exists?
We don't know this. This is a much contested fan theory. Some people think that Mara are the shadow of heaven, right? That when heaven was created, the Mara appeared.
Yeah.
Some people think that they are a different force altogether that's always been around.
Then I'm going to go with Yoji believes that Mara exists. Well,
and that's a great excuse. They're just two sides of a shitty coin.
Right.
Yep.
Right. I don't necessarily know if the cult believes that, but the cult wants to bring back Primordials, so I'll just think that because Yoji believes that, the cult believes that, etc.
And certainly possible.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. The other thing, I thought this was interesting. If someone did the math, if we do an episode every Tuesday, which I'm not saying we will, between now
if we did
and Christmas, on Christmas Day will be episode 100.
Wow. It's a Christmas. We'll end the show on a Christmas special. Oh, God, ding, no. Dong, ding, dong, ding. Court of Swords Christmas special. We'll get all the old guests on. Everybody will wear Christmas outfits. We'll drink nog by the fire. I'll make up a bullshit in universe Christmas. It'll be just like Star Wars. It'll be perfect.
Does it call it
Dragon? Dragonborn Life Day. Yeah, Anna's totally.
Possessed by the Mara.
Yeah. It'd be Krampus or whatever the fuck that bullshit is.
Yes, it totally does. In the northern parts of the Court of Wands and Court of Coins, and there's probably some like Arctic islands in the Court of Cups as well.
Nice. I didn't even think of that. That'd be cool. Basically what I'm saying is, Adam, we need either 9 more episodes of this, and then we swap back over to the main cast for the 100th episode live show in January, or we wrap this up in like 2 episodes, jump over to the other group, finish that in 8, and then we do the episode 100 with the main cast. So figure out what you want to do,
right?
And we'll
sorry about that.
Yeah.
Accidentally clicked the wrong thing.
Oh, we didn't hear anything. All we heard was you saying sorry about that.
Oh, no, I was gone for a second.
Oh, okay.
Good to know you didn't even know.
Yeah, I didn't even notice.
So it's episode 90 next week, and then we got
10 more to go.
Cool.
10 more to go. To 100.
That's so exciting.
So we'll figure that out.
Yeah, I got a Google Photos, like, because Google Photos will do this thing where it's just kind of like Facebook, where they're like, remember this?
Oh, God.
And it was a picture. It was a picture of us losing our shit over Wester dying, really getting that crit one. And I had screenshotted it, and it was like, this was 2 years ago. I was like, what? That's so cool.
Yeah. That's crazy.
2 years ago that happened. Yeah. Nuts.
Yeah. That was a long fucking time ago. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
When did we? We started the show in 2016, January 2016, I think.
We did the, I think it was September because we did the, the Patreon stuff in August, I remember. Let's see. But it was in that like end of summer vicinity. But I guess we could look on YouTube and see when we did the first episode. Is we're both wrong.
July 30th, 2016
was episode. Yeah, July, one. Right. There you go. So yeah, it would have been cool.
We still have this. Maybe episode 100 will rework everything. We'll just, because I like doing that shit. Pointless, but
yeah.
God, these overlays are bad. Also, man, my haircut is bad in this first episode.
Dangerous business going back and looking at it. People send me like screenshots, people who are like Far Verona fans who go back to watch Swan Song, and I was like, honey, that was in 2015. That shit was ages ago. And in internet time, double ages ago.
There it is.
So long.
Girl.
There it is.
Yeah.
Right there.
Mine was probably about the same.
Look how short my hair is. Damn.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, look at your hair. Look at that.
That was
And we idiot. We really should do some kind of like episode 100, like look back at our favorite moments.
That
like
would be cool. Clip. Yeah,
like that'd be fun. Bullshit clip show.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really fun. Because people could submit clips to us and we could put something together and we could talk about like all the fun shit that we've done and like kind of revisit old moments. Because there's lots of stuff I'm sure we've forgotten happened in the show.
Yeah. And then halfway on we'll bring Zeke on. You know? It just makes sense. Yeah. Halfway in.
No, Zeke's part in that. Zeke's part in that whole beginning part will just be a lot of like, I see where that's from.
Yeah. Yeah, there will be a lot of like, I get that reference now. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. A lot of Captain America.
Yeah. If we need to kill time between whenever 99 is and the live show, then yeah, we'll do a clip show before 100. That sounds like a good idea. Cool, cool. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back next week for episode 90 once again. So we'll see you guys at 6 p.m. Thanks for all the support here on Patreon. We're out. See you next time. Bye-bye.